Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
A few minutes here while I'm waiting for my kids to do a review of the tokamak reactor. This is the ITER, the International Toroidal Energy Experiment, ITER, whatever it is, reactor. So essentially, this is basically a very high-powered arc in which you go up to very high temperatures, 10 times higher, and thousands of times greater reaction. So I just don't know whether it's 150 million degrees and it's 15 million degrees in the sun. It's a factor of 10 times hotter than the sun. Much lower density, much lower size, but as you go up with the temperature, the reaction rates go up as it's 10 to 7 or something like this. All my kids are coming here. So the idea is fusion. So you get basically, the strong nuclear force means that nucleons which stick together release energy. They have binding energy, so they emit heat and radiation. And it's a sort of a two-step process, but essentially it produces these fairly powerful gamma rays, which somehow must be produced. So it's deuterium plus tritium produces a little bit of energy. It's overbound. It's got one neutron too many, and then when it releases its neutron, it is a much more stable atom, and that is the general energy production phase. So it's one of these amazing things that you don't want to, when you stick things together, you don't want them to stick too tight together, and then you want it to lose energy through a binding step. And this is very much the triple alpha process in stars for producing by fusion carbon. Now what happens is that there's a three-step, the excited carbon nucleus. It's only got a little bit of energy. Now this is great because all your smashing up energy goes into the fuck I'm sticking together, and then it falls apart. So this is in your gas, and the idea is that you create a circulating gas discharge, and the molecules are, the nuclei can combine to it. It's completely ionized at this temperature. I think it's 150 million degrees in some incredibly high temperature that this all works at. So this is, very interesting to come across. Now, the idea is that if you can actually get a toroidal magnetic field, you can actually create a circle, a ring, and this ring is basically an open end bottle where the open end goes into its back end, so it's basically a circulating current. And this can actually produce... I'm getting actually a little bit hot in here, so I'm going to turn on the... Sorry about that. I'm going to turn on the oven and just check over here. Yeah, so this is the toroid, and essentially what it's aiming to do is that there were, when I was looking at it, factors of billions away from the energy to run the project equals the energy out. And so essentially they've just been increasing the scale. So the scale of this, the one that I saw, was the actual toroid itself, was pretty much fairly small gap the size of a 20-cent coin. This has now increased the scale and this is worth $80 billion. So you can imagine that the toroid that I saw at ANU from the 70s with a runoff experiment from a failed anti-proton experiment from Mark Oliphant. I'll just turn off the... don't need the conditioning. The Mark Oliphant had this homopolar generator which produced a huge current, which produced a huge magnetic field. Of course, now things are massively greater scale, and things are scaled up. So the amount of wiring in this toroid, they've got here, the ITER toroid, being built in, I think, in Europe, is, or it have to be, I'm just seeing the kids rock up here, it will stretch over 100,000 kilometres of wire. Yeah, and so that's enough wire in this one superconducting wire in this to stretch around the planet three times. And so that took five manufacturers 5 years full on to produce this. So this is a massive amount of work. And this conductor is superconducting, so they've decided to get their huge, so they're increasing by a huge scale, by a factor of a million in terms of size, and a much, much more massive magnetic field. And of course, the stronger the magnetic field, the higher temperature you can go to. So they're getting a fair amount of work out of here. Now, this, the thing I don't think they have solved quite yet is that when this produces, you produce a huge number of neutrons. Now, then this very high flux of neutrons then gets absorbed by deuterated water, and then that produces tritium. So it's actually all you need to do to this reactor is feed in your initial star amount of tritium, and then it will start producing its own grade of fuel. So it's a pretty amazing thing, and it's the foundations are laid now. Now, very much my friend here. Now, I'm going to have to stop here. Oh, I don't know, as things are going past. Very much my friend has been working on this for 30 years. It's another 30 years before they think it'll work. But, of course, the end result of this is ostensibly a limitless amount of energy that the human race can then tap onto. So here we go. Okay, look, thanks a lot for listening. And my kids are coming now. Bye for now.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.